News from campus matters to you.
And me.
And me.
And me.
And us.
So, weekdays at 5pm, URN brings you The Pulse. 1 hour of news stories that matter to you.
And me.
And me.
And
I think they get the point. The Pulse. Weekdays from 5.
Because the BBC don't care about the beer prices in Mooch.
Hello and welcome back to the Tuesday Pulse. You're joined by me, Catherine, Matt, Emily and Rebecca. So first we're going to have Rebecca with the centenary since women got the vote.
So this is the news that across the country, people today are celebrating it being 100 years since women first received any form of suffrage. Praise for the suffragette movement is like all over social media at the moment, celebrating the rebellious but progressive achievements of a group of women advocating basic human rights that we all consider normal. Obviously, this wasn't universal at first, as lots of reports have been emphasising, but it was the first big administrative step towards full female suffrage, which we experience today. In amongst the praise was historian Greg Jenner, who actually pointed out that full female suffrage was not achieved until 10 years later, but it's still obviously a massive step. And some people have viewed this as just a step in the development, but still it's important to remember how far the women's rights movement has come since this. The anniversary of such a massive breakthrough has raised certain questions, like should we not focus on developing further female representation in both electorate and the government body itself? So that itself has been a massive subject in Parliament for years, and the general election this last year highlighted the fact that nearly 50% of Labour MPs were female compared to 21% of Conservative MPs, and it was being fought back between them both about who was given more representation. But on a much more positive note, Scotland have announced a £500,000 fund encouraging more women to get involved in politics. So hopefully we'll be able to see some more progression in representation. I spoke to some students today, and one of them emphasised that although we're celebrating the relevance of suffrage, there's still a lot of progress to be made for women in terms of representation, and it's even worse in countries where universal female suffrage has only just been put in place, like Saudi Arabia. It wasn't until 2015 in the elections where women were allowed to vote, and it's still not administratively an actual law that they're allowed to. It was just for those elections. But so I'm going to open a couple of questions out to you guys. Do you think it's
maybe
still...
first we should hear what these students had to say about, yeah, about these issues?
Do you think it's still relevant to celebrate the anniversary of women's suffrage?
Yeah, I definitely do, because it's a really big part of our history that shouldn't be taken for granted. And it's really important to remember everything that was fought for, and that the reason that we as women can have a comfortable life now is because of their sacrifice.
Yes, I do think it's relevant because it's just something worth sort of celebrating and remembering for decades to come, really, I think.
Has full electoral equality been achieved in terms of gender?
Not globally and not in the UK, because Parliament doesn't reflect sort of the male-female sort of ratios in society, so it should be 50% male-to-female ratio, but it's actually about 39% women in Parliament as MPs, I think, so it should be more than that, but it's not. And it's even worse in other countries as well.
I think it hasn't. There's still a big difference in those that can vote and those that get represented, so there's still far greater male representation than female.
As a democratic country, what can we do to encourage full suffrage in other countries, and do we have the right to do this?
Well, you could sort of fund educational campaigns in other countries, like in Africa, with maybe abortion that they do. Or you could do sanctions as a more extreme option, but realistically, political sort of goals will interfere with that and stop that from happening, like Saudi Arabia and oil and stuff.
As a democratic country, what can we do to encourage full suffrage in other countries?
Well, we can encourage through projects in Africa, so you can work with girls to help them get a better education and to stop child marriages. And then I think it works a lot better as a bottom-up scheme instead of a top-down scheme.
This is URN.
So a few points made there, mainly about more international issues when it comes to women's position in society at the moment. And so
can I open the question up to you guys about do you think it's still relevant to celebrate this anniversary even when after years of progress there's still issues and gaps in the system?
I think it's very relevant to celebrate it. It's obviously such a huge monument in the women's rights movement, and it was such a big turning point in this country. But obviously the right to vote is such a fundamental human right that enables you to influence political decisions. So I think it's really important that we remember this, but also reflect that we're still a long way off achieving full equality, or sadly, and that more needs to be done to do this, and that we can use this as motivation to move further forwards in achieving equality for women.
I mean, I think it's really important, especially like it said in some of those interviews that you did with students on campus, to as sort of like monument and like a reminder for those who live in countries where they don't have legal equalities, like maybe education, access to education, working and stuff like that. So I think celebrating something like this is a good example for just the worldwide women that are out there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's definitely important to be able to celebrate something like this, especially because we do need to work towards a more egalitarian society in terms of gender roles, and I think something like this could only encourage more women to get involved in politics in a place where they don't feel like they're in an equal foot on at the minute. This could be something which is like, actually, do you know what, we can do it, we've come this far, so why not push further?
Yeah, I believe we're now at a record level. I think we've got 208 out of 650 female MPs. So obviously, we're nowhere near halfway, which is where we should be. But we've definitely made progress. I think if you consider, it's probably about 20 or 30 in the 1980s who are women MPs out of 600 or so. That's evidently a step in the right direction. Hopefully, we can increase that with each election going forward. But I think an interesting thing that came out today is I saw about how it's been suggested by Ruth Davidson, the Scottish Conservative leader, that the suffragettes should be pardoned for their actions. What would you guys think of that?
What actions would you be specifically referring to?
So a lot of times suffragettes were arrested for demonstrating and for essentially assaulting police officers and things like that. Obviously there were notable protests such as I think it was Emily Wilding Davison who threw herself in front of a horse at the Grand National. So these sort of things, they were arrested for these public protests, and it's been suggested they should be pardoned for these actions.
It's a difficult one to discuss, but I probably hold the view that they should be pardoned, because within like the realm of protest in general, there's always going to be that kind of thing happening, and you see it in all types of protests. But if like there was a violent act, I don't know if I necessarily would agree with that pardoning, because perhaps that could be seen as a step too far. But when it comes to, you know, disrupting the peace, maybe that's something that necessarily had to be done in order to kind of get the change that they wanted in the world.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think often the issue at the moment is people worrying about more modern protests. But I think what Ruth Davidson was pointing to was actions that have much further in the past, because I think there's this kind of weird rising concern that it might get a bit out of control, and people think that, oh, if I can do something in protest, then I can kind of get away with what I want. But the point is, this was like, it was a positive political movement, and that's still alive today, trying to get women more representation in Parliament. And if we're recognising them as a movement rather than kind of viewing them as almost criminals, then I think it becomes more acceptable for them to be viewed as a proper political stance.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that without these women, that we, you know, we might not have some of the rights that we have today.
We might not even be here at uni.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you have to thank the women who did things like that.
Yeah, I suppose the alternative point of view is that perhaps maybe the suffragettes actually wore their arrests and convictions as a badge of honour, almost, to show that they fought for the women's movement, and to take them away, I think it was a professor from maybe Lincoln University or something like that, would be mildly insulting to their memory. So I think it's sort of balancing that. So, because obviously they were proud of the fact that they stood up for their rights, and rightly so, and they were almost wearing these arrests as a badge of honour. But would you say that they should take them away for that reason, or just leave it as it is?
I think it's history, do you know what I mean? I think leave it as it is. I think these women were well ahead of the times in terms of the view that they had, and it's only because of them women that I'm sat here at university today. But I do think it's important to realise that what they did at the time did go against the grain, and it did go against the norms of society. And obviously it was a crime, but it's a crime that that I think they should be technically proud of. That it's changed
standing
so much.
Up for what they believe in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important that we remember these anniversaries for our history to emphasise that. But yeah, I think that if we just do need to recognise that there's still so much further to go with it. With I think specifically the I think more needs to be done on payment, especially. I think that's probably the greatest area of inequality that still exists in terms of gender in our society. So I suspect that's quite a difficult one to get a measure of, really.
Do you mean the in reference to the payment?
Yes, I think I guess how you would do it, really.
Okay. It's difficult to measure because there are a lot of kind of inconclusive surveys of like inequalities of wealth within gender as well. So it's really like there's difference of career and stuff that you need to account for, but you know, there are some studies that have shown that, yeah, women do earn less for the same profession as well, and that is something that needs to be addressed as well as getting women in the door for those careers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the issue with the pay gap definitely is goes back to kind of a difference in educational opportunities that are more available to women or that are encouraged. And that's obviously something ingrained more in something that's constructed, like, socially, in how we learn what jobs are available and things like that. But I think having an actual pay gap definitely could be changed if we increase opportunities for women in a larger area of, like, larger fields when it comes to working.
Yeah, so that's rounded off quite nicely our discussion on the centenary since women got the vote.